The Christian in Complete Armor by William Grinnell. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. In the Spirit. Chapter 2. Showeth that you pray in the Spirit, it is regarded that we pray with understanding. And why? Also, what understanding? In order to pray acceptably, it is necessary that we pray with understanding. A blind sacrifice was rejected in the law, Malachi 1:8. How much more blind devotions under the gospel? As knowledge aggravates a sin, so ignorance takes the excellency of an action that is good. I bear them witness, saith Paul, they have a zeal, not according to knowledge. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. John chapter 4, verse 22. Where we see that the want of knowledge and acts of worship is such a fundamental defect that it brings damnation with it. But why is knowledge so necessary to acceptable praying? Section 1. First, because without this, it is not a reasonable service, for we know not what we do. God calls for your reasonable service, Romans chapter 12, verse 1, which some oppose to the legal sacrifices which they offered up in the gospel we are to offer ourselves. The soul and spirit of a man is the man. Why did not God lay a law on beasts to worship him, but because they have not a rational soul to understand and reflect upon their own actions? And will God accept that worship from man, wherein he doth not exercise that faculty which distinguishes him from a beast? Show yourselves men, Isaiah 46, verse 8. And truly he that worships the true God ignorantly is brutish in his knowledge, as well as he that prays to a false god. Secondly, because the understanding is the leading faculty of the soul, the inward worship of the heart is the chief work, and the outer powers of the soul are disabled if they want this guide. As for those violent passions of sorrow and joy, which sometimes appear in ignorant worshippers, they are spurs. Christ the chief, like Jacob, can see by the eye. The saint's eye is enlightened to see the majesty and glorious holiness of God, and then it mourns before him in the sense of his own vileness. Now, mine eye seeth thee, wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Job chapter 42, verse 5 and 7. Again, by an eye of faith he beholds the goodness and love of God to poor sinners in Christ, and in particular, to himself, and this sight affects his heart to love and rely on him, which it is impossible the ignorant soul should do. Section 2. But you say, what is necessary for the praying soul to know? First, that he to whom he directs his prayer is the true God. Religious worship is an incommunicable flower in the crown of the deity, and that both inward and outward. We are religiously to worship him only, who, by reason of his infinite perfection, deserves our supreme love. We must have the crown that owns the kingdom. The kingdom and power are God's. Therefore, the glory of religious worship belongs to him alone, Matthew 6:13. Angels are the highest order of creatures, but we are forbid to worship any of the hosts of heaven, Deuteronomy 17:3. Who would not fear thee, O King of nations? For to thee it doth appertain. Where fear is put for religious worship, as appears by the place, the want of this knowledge filled the heathen world with idolatry, for when they found any virtue or excellency in the creature, they adored and worshipped it. Secondly, there is required a knowledge of this true God, what his nature is. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Hebrews 11:6. A perfect knowledge of the divine perfection is not to be gained by a finite being. He was right who said, none indeed knows God thus but God himself. Yet, a scripture knowledge of him is necessary to the right performance of this duty. The want of understanding his omniscience and infinite mercy is the cause of vain babbling, and a conceit to prevail by long prayers, which our Savior charges upon the heathen and prevents in his disciples by acquainting them with these attributes. Matthew chapter 6, verse 7 and 8. They came rather to revere God than to beg. The ignorance of this glorious majesty is the cause why many are so irreverently familiar with God in their expression. We are bid to be sober, watching, and to prayer. Thus, there is an insincerity in our very language, which we do not clothe the desires of our heart with such humble expressions, as may signify the awe and dread of His sacred majesty. In a word, the reason why men dare come reeking out of the adulterous embraces of their lust and stretch forth their unwashed hands to heaven in prayer is because they know not God to be of such infinite purity as will have no fellowship with the workers of iniquity. Thou thoughtest I was altogether such a one as thyself. Psalms 50, verse 21. Thirdly, we must understand the matter of our prayers, without which we cannot in faith say amen to our own prayers, but may ask that which neither becomes us to desire, nor is honorable for God to give. This Christ rebukes when she in the gospel put her ambitious request for her children to be set, one at the right and the other at the left hand of God in His kingdom. God never gave us leave thus to indict our own prayers by the dictate of our private spirit, but hath bound us up to ask only what He hath promised to give. Fourthly, a knowledge of the manner how we are to pray, in whose name, and what qualifications are required in the prayer in person praying. We find Paul begging prayers, that ye strive together with me in your prayers. In another place he tells us of a lawful striving. 2 Timothy 2:5. There is a law of prayer which must be observed. Even in false worship, they go by some rule in their addresses to their gods. Therefore, those Samaritans, 2 Kings chapter 17, verse 26, when a plague was on them, concluded the reason to be because they knew not the manner of the God of the land. The true God will be served in due order. Section 3. How few then pray in the Spirit? Were this the only character to try many by, would they not be exposed as mere babblers? As first, those in the Popish Church, where most know not a word, that they say in their prayer, if it be a weakness to subscribe a petition to a king, which we never read nor understood, what shall we think of such brutish prayers as these sent to heaven? Yea, among ourselves, many who, though they pray in their mother language, are ignorant as to the matter of their prayers, how else could they muster over the creed and commandments with their blind devotion instead of prayers? Are there more deplorable ruins of mankind to be found among the Indians? Yea, when they join with their ministers in prayer, neither know that God to whom the prayer is directed, nor the mediator under the favor of whose name is to be presented. Before Nebuchadnezzar could bless God, he had the understanding of a man given him. Do you not think such ignorant wretches as these might be easily persuaded to kneel before an image or to put their letter into some angel or saint's head for dispatch, being made to believe that it will find a kinder welcome by the meditation of such favors? Oh, what a darkness is there even at this day upon the face of our waters, of which, had but the Pope's instruments opportunities set brooding a while, they might soon bring their desired work to perfection among the multitude. We see there is need not only to stir up our people to pray, but also to teach them how they may pray. It teaches to all that are the mouth of God for others in prayer, so to pray, that those who join with them may clearly understand what they put up to God for them. Who is more to be blamed, he that prayeth in an unknown tongue, or he that uses such uncouth phrases and high-flung expressions as are not understood by half the assembly. Suppose thine own spirit prays, yet thy understanding is unfruitful unto them. They are at a loss and stand gazing, as the disciples did when the cloud parted Christ from them. Either come down from thy high, towering expressions, or help them up to thee. They may say of thee as those of Moses, we know not what has become of the man. No wonder if, while they cannot keep sight of the matter in hand, their thoughts rove about some object of their own framing. Dost thou pray to be admired by those rolling tongue, height of gifts, etc.? Consider what low and base and thou propoundest in so high a service. What, no net to fish with for applause, but a sacred ordinance? The whip which Christ made in the gospel belongs to thy back. When he was all on fire with zeal to see his house of prayer made a house of merchandise. Oh, how his soul loathes the baseness of thy mercenary spirit, who does the same, though in another dress. End of chapter 2.